Morning, everyone. Just doing math in my head so I know how long I have to speak with you today. Numbers are not my forte, so. I would like to begin today, as many of us know. We lost our dear sister yesterday to her battle with cancer, Anandi, as I said, many of you would know. And Anandi is an example of a life of triumph as she left her body. There's a beautiful description, which I'm sure has been circulating and many of you have seen, of what it was like to be in that space as she left her body. And it is an example of conquering the courage and the determination, what it takes to dedicate our lives to this path and to dedicate our lives to seeking that divine cosmic consciousness that we're speaking about tonight, that incarnates in human form, in the form of the avatar. And Anandi is a shining, shining model for each one of us and what that represents. And I wanted to begin today by sharing a story that I heard recently about her life, which we can each take into our own lives, and then I'll weave some of the stories. I had the great privilege of spending most of my day last Monday, so about a week ago, a beautiful playlist was sent to me with about 30 to 40 talks that Anandi had given throughout her career, shall we say, but really just throughout her life as a disciple, from many different forums, SRWs and Sunday services. And Monday happens to be a day that I usually spend some time around my house just doing menial chores. And so I put the playlist on and put my headphones in and spent several hours last week just listening to her talks. And I did the same yesterday. And so today I thought that one of the best ways that we could pay tribute to this divine soul is by weaving some of these stories into our talk today. So we talk about the divine guru or the divine incarnation. But I'd like to begin by sharing a story that I heard recently from my friend Saganesh about Anandi. And this happened to be in the early 80s when she was thinking about leaving the monastery and feeling like she was being called to take a partner and to turn her life in a different direction than she was as living as a nun. And she began, as most young people would, to start to consider what is she looking for in a partner? What's the right match? What is it that I need that's going to help me to grow? What can I attract and magnetize? And then one day, in the testament to how wonderful and deep this soul is, the thought came to her as she was contemplating who would be a perfect match or a good match for her. The thought came to her to ask not who would be the right match for me or what do I need, but what can I give? How can I serve? Where is the match that will help me to dedicate my life more deeply to service? And then, of course, from there, we know the story goes on that she met Bharat and the two of them have spent a beautiful life together. But that's such a perfect example of the attitude that each one of us are looking to hold in our own lives, to ask every single day, what can I serve? How can I open my heart more deeply? Which is an echo of the reading from today. This question of what is the difference between each one of us and the divine avatars, the incarnation of that divine cosmic consciousness into human form. And of course, what we hear is it's our consciousness. But even before that, I wanted to take a step back and really explore what that means for each one of us. And it brought me to the Festival of Light. And in the Festival of Light, we hear a prayer of love went up from earth and you responded, burst downward through night skies of consciousness to awaken on earth for the redemption of mankind. And so you see the call of the avatar, the call of that divine consciousness, it doesn't come to descend to earth outside of our own relationship. It's a reciprocal relationship. That divine avatar is magnetized to earth. God himself manifests in human form because of our longing. That prayer of love that went up from earth. And if you read the text of the festival, earth is capitalized, which I thought was so interesting to represent that sort of, the pronoun of all of us, every single human being and the calling of love. And it doesn't matter if your guru came 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 2,000 years ago, because time, we know, is circumstantial. It's not linear. Time is a circle. And in the center of that circle is the stillness of cosmic consciousness. And whenever that cry went out in time, the guru descends, that incarnation descends, and we're given the unique opportunity to spend our lives seeking that communion, seeking that place of inner stillness, which is, of course, what Anandi offers to us through this sweet example of recognizing, it's not what can I get, what can I give, it's what can I give. How can I offer myself more completely into that divine consciousness, into that ray of light? And when I was thinking about the festival, and I was thinking about how that relates to each one of us, it begins on this grand scale. I'm trying to remember all the lines in my head. I wrote them over there, but it's a personal challenge to see if I can pull them out of the ether. You know, when we begin the festival and we hear, into our hands have been given the sacred keys of awakening. Abundant now is our hope. And that call of the divine that comes down, that manifestation, drawn to earth by the call of our aspiring love, it's cosmic, it's universal, it expands beyond the personal. And here we are, and we can look behind us at this beautiful altar, and how lucky are we to not have one avatar, but five avatars who are guiding this path with each one of us, and it can feel vast and huge in that sense. Because that sacred key of awakening is, of course, the path of self-realization, the path of Kriya. And Kriya is not personal. Kriya is not for each one of us. Kriya is for the world. And yet, at the same time, that call of aspiring love is deeply personal. It's infinite and it's infinitesimal, all at the same time. Because the Guru has come, that divine incarnation has come to celebrate and awaken all of mankind. Swami Kriyananda and Master both have just slightly differing phraseology for how they talk about the divine incarnation. But there are two commonalities. One is it is the manifestation of cosmic consciousness in human form. And the second is that the purpose of that divine incarnation is to awaken all of mankind for all salvation of all of mankind, which is a great and beautiful feat. And yet at the same time, the Guru has come specifically for each one of us. And there is nothing that we can do that is outside of that love. Every little foible, every little argument that we make with ourselves for our own unworthiness, for the own reasons that we're never going to make it there in ourselves, for the whatever it is that we tell ourselves day after day, none of it is true. The Guru came specifically for you. In every little part of you, every piece of you, every thought, he knows, he loves, he celebrates. And that golden thread that's tying us back to that divine consciousness that's represented in the question, how can I serve? How can I love? How can I be a deeper channel of that divine source? It strengthens the cord and it pulls us closer and closer to the divine. I wrote my honors thesis in college on Moby Dick. I graduated with a degree in American literature, and so Moby Dick is a stalwart and foundational text in the midst of that, and I've spent a lot of time with it. And it's a great novel. It's not necessarily one I would recommend we all embark on right now at this moment in our life, but there was always one symbol that stood out to me throughout. This was long before I knew what a yogic path was or the path of self-realization, and it's somewhat trivial in its matter, but back in the 1800s, when you were whaling, the whale would be on the side of the ship and you needed to do all of the things you need to do in order to extract the magic that you need from the inside of the whale. And so there would be one person standing on the deck of the ship, and there would be one person working in the sea with this animal, with this being. And there would be a rope, and this is actually historically correct, and they would tie the rope on one end and tie the rope on the other end so that you would never get lost, even if you were floating out in the water, that you could always be pulled back in. And they call it the monkey rope. And in a sense, each one of us, we have this golden thread that's tying us to that divine incarnation. We have our own monkey rope. No matter how far we float out into the sea of our own delusions, we can always come back. We can always seek that divine source, and we can remember that it was our call, our desire, our longing to be able to express love, to share love, and to feel love that manifested that incarnation, that divine incarnation, that manifested God to each one of us, and that we never lose that. And that fire smolders within us, and it grows each time we choose to be more expansive and to open our hearts and to share that. It's so beautiful, you know, I mean, that the affirmation for today was sharing. What a powerful and poignant line that we get from this affirmation. Let's see if I can pull it up. He says that in sharing, obviously, it's self-expanding. And the line that he says is, it's the doorway for the soul out of the prison of our own self-preoccupations. And what does that doorway look like? It brings us right to the threshold, the doorway out of the prison of our own preoccupations. That threshold, we step through that threshold by sharing our love. This is the most precious gift that we have to give. It's the only gift that God is asking of us, of course. But in every moment of our life, it's the most precious gift that we have to give. I just had this experience on Friday night. I ordered some food from a restaurant, and I called and they told me what time my food would be ready, and I went to go and pick it up, and they were late because they were busy, and so I waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and all throughout that time, just naturally getting a little bit more irked. I hadn't brought my phone with me because I was expecting to spend 2 minutes and pick up my meal and leave, and so I was just sitting there and spent the first few minutes thinking about all of the ways that this has gone wrong, that it hasn't gone the way that I wanted it to, and I didn't have anything to distract myself. And then the thought popped into my mind, Lakshmi, you're a yogi. What? You don't need a phone at this moment. What can you do? And I just started to look around the restaurant at all of the people rushing in and out, people eating meals, and instead of thinking, here I am with people not with their masks on, and I don't like this, I just started to give love to every single person, just imagining each one of them encompassed in golden light, and you know, not even just completely impersonally. Of course, I didn't know any of them, not even activating the mind to try and think of their stories or what it is that brought them here, just channeling love. And of course, the experience shifted, and they said, it'll be 5 more minutes. No problem. Take as long as you need. Here I am in love. Where else do we want to be? What else do we want to be doing? Sharing love takes us to that threshold, and as we step through, we find that we've already been given the gift, that it's already here waiting for us. And that divine incarnation, it's our effort, it's our call, it's our longing that has brought us right to that point. And a beautiful example of this is the story, I've been listening to the story of the descent of Mother Ganga. And if any of you, I won't have time to tell us the whole story today, but if any of you have the opportunity, Morley from Ananda, Washington, he told this last year at SRW, and it's wonderful and thrilling, particularly for someone like me who grew up here in the West and didn't grow up with these stories. And so I was enjoying both the story aspect of it, and he also ties the spiritual threads in so beautifully in the ways that he would, being in tune with this path and this guru. And to bring us to a point in this story, there is a young disciple, Bhagirad, who needs to call Mother Ganga, who's representative of all that is purifying. One dip, one toe to be dipped in her waters can purify even the greatest sinners. And she's up in the heavens as the Milky Way, purifying the gods. And because Bhagirad wants to free the souls of his family, of his kin, who, for a various reason that we can't quite get into right now, have turned to ash, he comes and he passes over Mount Himalayan peaks, and he travels through the valleys and over the mountains and through the caves with all of the dangers that he needs to face, all of the chaos that comes along with that, drawn only by his intuition, only by his heart. He doesn't know where he's going. He knows he's looking for Ganga the purifier. He knows he's looking for that divine manifestation to help to purify not only himself, not even himself. He's not seeking for himself, but he's seeking to purify his kin, all of the land, and each one of us, our kin, are not just our family or our guru bhais. It's all of creation, every single one of us. And we traverse over mountaintops and peaks, and we travel through caves, and we face dangers and challenges. They don't look like Himalayan paths, but we face them every day in our lives, when we're battling with our partners, when we're struggling with our deadlines at work, when we're coming up against the rush and the chaos and the tumult, the crash of breaking worlds. And he traverses over all of this using that longing, that intuition, that call of aspiring love. And he comes to a serene lake, beautiful lake, that is untouched. And he looks up and he knows intuitively, this is the spot where I will find Mother Ganga, the purifier. And she doesn't just come to him. It takes thousands of years, and he stands in perfect austerity until he has relinquished every desire and every attachment, until he has given his heart to a one-focused and one-pointed goal of sharing this purifying strength, this purifying love of God with everyone and everything. And as he stands and gets deeper and deeper into that place of stillness, finally, after thousands of years, Mother Ganga appears. And bowing at the feet of Shiva, the representative of the creator, Mother Ganga enters into her form of the river. And it's such a beautiful way he describes it. He says the Bhagirad is dancing with her over all of the mountain peaks that he had to traverse and all of the challenges. Now she's rushing along beside him, playing, purifying everyone that she meets in her wake. And all of those challenges, all of those caves, all of those dangers that at first were a challenge for Bhagirad, now with Mother Ganga, with that divine strength running alongside him, they're joyful, they're uplifting. And so it is with each one of us when we open our hearts and we're able to share love and remember what it is that we're doing, remember what it is that we're truly seeking. Then all of those mountain caves, all of those challenges and obstacles, we get to run joyfully alongside them with God. We get to splash in those purifying waters. There was a beautiful story that Anandi told in one of her talks, and it's a story that many of us will know, but it fits so perfectly today. And she was telling the story of a disciple who had the great privilege. She was living at Mount Washington, and she had the great privilege of always being invited on car rides with Master. We know he would take long drives, and she was always invited. And how wonderful, what a treat this would be. And then one day, she suddenly was stopped. The invitations stopped. And she started to get upset and first went through, what have I done? How have I offended the Master? And then all of the range of emotions that come through, you know, the anger, the hurt, why won't he accept me? Why doesn't he love me? And then after all of this angst, however long it goes on, the thought comes into her mind, why did I come to Mount Washington? Why did I lay at the feet of my gurus in the first place? It wasn't to go on car rides. It was to seek God. It was to seek the divine so that I may share the divine with all. And in that moment, she lets go of the attachment and the desires, and Master comes up to her and says, ah, you heard my lesson. So sweet and so beautiful. It's just about remembering what it is that we're truly doing, what it is that we have, that we are able to share. It is our love. And we can do that each moment, both within our own angst, our own pains, offering everything that we are up to the divine, because remember, that divine incarnation, the guru that each one of us, most of us sitting in this room, and I'm sure many of us, whomever your guru is, that call, that divine personal love, he came specifically for you to help you to find freedom. And he loves every little part of you, every quirk and every trait is a perfect collection of who you are in this moment that's going to be lifted up into your next stage of consciousness. If we, like Anandi, can ask the question, not what do I want, but how can I serve? What can I give? Because God is simple. Everything else is complex. And at the very heart of that question is love. At the very heart of the question, what do I have to give, is pure bliss, that stillness, and that love that permeates all reality. That love that, like Mother Ganga, flows through every rivulet, every stream, until it's encompassing the entire world with that purifying light. And the Masters are called, greater can no love be than this, to take on a life of limitation and pain and death for our salvation, for your salvation and my salvation. This is the promise of the incarnation of the Avatar, the mystery. Of course, the mystery is, and we hear it, everything I am, you are too. And we know that to be true, no matter how far away it may seem. Remember that thread, that monkey rope, that golden thread, is already tied. It's unbreakable. No matter how far we swim out into the world, we can never be lost to Divine Mother. And the avatars come in human form to show us that. I love this reading when it says they eat and they sleep and they talk. It's just so human, which of course it is. But our goal is to never forget, no matter how human the experience may feel, that we're always reaching into, we're always giving a peek just behind the veil of what it means to live in God consciousness, in God realization, in union and communion with the divine. And we do this moment by moment, here I say it again, by giving our love. One final story that Anandi shared in one of her talks that I was listening to yesterday was a talk that Mother Teresa gave at a Harvard graduation. And Anandi, very sweetly, she said, here she is talking to Harvard graduates, and you think she would say, go out and serve the poor, or you're going to be lawyers and doctors. Give your money to the poor. But she says, ah, no, what Mother Teresa said to each one of these young people about to embark on whatever professional accomplishments and success, worldly successes they'll have. She said, find somebody in your family, one person who is unloved, one person who's difficult to love, and you love them completely. What a beautiful task each one of us can take on. We can all find that. And it's hard to say, none of us would want to say that somebody is unlovable. But we all have within our circle that somebody who we know can use just a little bit more love. Somebody who we know can be uplifted by feeling that grace of Divine Mother's love, by feeling that joy. I was speaking with someone, you know, and these are those moments of ignorance that you stand up here a little bashfully and you say, huh, I had to learn a lesson there. But I was speaking with someone several years ago and I wanted this person to be acting differently. And I kept trying to tell them why they were acting inappropriately, how they could just do it more successfully, more efficiently, more and better, in my opinion, what better would be. And I kept trying to get them to see the light and it just wasn't working. And one day I was talking with a friend who's much wiser than me. We were talking about what it would be like to just offer our friendship and for me to offer my friendship and my love to this person. And I wrote back to my mentor and my friend the other day. I said, I understand what you're saying. Change doesn't come by telling somebody what you want them to do. It comes by loving them unconditionally and helping to expand the heart. Because as soon as we go from this to this, there's the divine waiting for us. There's that thread that we remember that calls us up to the divine, that allows us to have the strength to ask the question, not what can I get, but how can I serve? It reminds us why the avatars, the great gurus, have been called to earth, the sacrifice that they've made. It is for the salvation of mankind. It is for your salvation. We don't squander that. We offer ourselves every single moment. One final thing that Anandi said in one of her talks, she was repeating Master's teaching. We should wake up every day as a new day and offer into our every morning as a new opportunity to grow closer to the divine. And not just every morning, every day, but every single breath, every single moment. Then we can be like Bhagirath. The moment we find that lake of serenity, which all of us have, we wouldn't be here listening to this talk if we hadn't tasted or touched into that lake of serenity where we say, ah, this is where Divine Mother is. Whether we've experienced it or not, we know it exists. We know that it's there. And so our job now is to offer everything that we have into that stalwartly, completely, because it's our calling, it's our burst of willpower, it was our desire that magnetized that light to earth. And now we as disciples, as truth seekers, get to spend our life letting go of the restraints and the restrictions, the attachments, the limitations, everything that keeps us from that inner stillness. We open our heart. And when we can't do it and the world seems overwhelming, just remember Mother Teresa's advice. Find one person that you can love and give them all of the love that you're able to. That's just the first step. And from there, in an instant, we're free, because love is at the essence. It's at the root of everything.
As Lakshmi mentioned at the beginning of her service, just a little after 1 o'clock this morning, our dear friend Anandi left her body. And as her husband kept telling us over these last many weeks, they could feel God calling her to come home. And in that spirit, she left her body. There are many stories to be told. They are already being told at Ananda Village and throughout the Ananda world. And I think we'll all have the opportunity to tune into many of those at an astral ascension. The date and time of that is yet to be announced, but I'm sure it will happen through the village soon. So we'll get to hear a lot more about Anandi. I can't think of a more perfect reading and music, this last song particularly that Tandava and Sai Ganesh did, which was just so beautiful. And I just kept imagining Anandi singing it and being carried away by it. And then this beautiful reading and talk that Lakshmi gave about the incarnation of love. We could speak of God's descent into this world in many ways, but to speak of it as an incarnation of love on the very day that this beautiful soul, who was in fact herself an incarnation of love. I think one of the things that, well, not just so many of us, but so many people that I've had the opportunity to connect with over the years about Anandi, is that we all felt loved by her. We felt that we were always in the presence of love when we were with her, and we felt closer to the masters when we were near her. And I think I don't know of anybody who hasn't said that. She really lived for all of us with such a pure and open heart. And as we all know, being in the presence of someone that great, that purely loving, helps us spiritually. No matter what our relationship to her was, no matter whether we saw her once or regularly, it's an extraordinary blessing to be able to call her our sister, our Guru Bhai. We've all grown spiritually because of her presence here on earth. Again, we'll hear more about that. There's a poem that was written by a devotee whose name is Bhajana. Bhajana is in Brazil right now, or perhaps we would ask her to read this. But she sent this poem out to a few people that she wrote for Anandi. And when I read it as I woke up this morning, I felt that it should be read here for all of us right now. And again, perhaps it will be read again at her astral ascension. But let us all listen to these beautiful words written by Bhajana for Anandi. At first, like flying for the first time, God, my mother bird, pushing me out of my earthly nest into the air of eternity. I will give away my breath into Master's lungs, and he will breathe for me the breath of heaven. I will see the stars up close and wear the aureolus of space as my pajamas. My hair will be feathers and my body light. My hands also beautiful feathers of the bird of paradise. And my mind a poem God writes and writes again and again with beauty divine. My voice will sing in perfect tune, and there is a piano for me to play, and a guitar for me to hug. There is fruit and seawater I can drink as if it were rain, and I will drink wine with Jesus, a wine made in heaven of grapes from France, sacred and pure. And the holy grail of my life will have no pain, for I will understand what my Father in heaven gave me for his love for me. I will embrace my mother and my father, and we will listen the waves on the gentle seashore of heaven beneath the new moon setting. And all my Guru Bhais will be with me, with Swamiji, in my heart, where Master lives forever and forever. Om.
Rambo lo del mondo, c'è la purezza l'umiltà, vero amore onestà, per matili, null'altro amano. Is there anywhere on earth perfect freedom, sorrows turn, selfless friendship, blameless birth, cherish these, not else as worth. Is there anywhere on earth perfect freedom, sorrows turn, selfless friendship, blameless birth, cherish these, not else has worth.
I've heard your flute high on a cloud, your call I can't resist. Oh, let me come and play with you. We'll scatter music with the dew and sound the morning mist. I've heard you piping on a hill. All else I've set aside. Oh, let us dance the mountain peaks. We'll skip with breezes on the creeks and soar the valleys wide. Your flute has called me to the fields. Now I've no place to live. Don't send me back, rejected friend. Whatever I call mine must end. All that I am, I give. I hear your flute in every tree, in every flower and stream, and sweetest melody of all, a song that heaven's joy recalls. Here in my heart you see. Thank you.